willing. And as long as I feel it's appropriate and what God wants. Little short, choppy messages about love based on the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And last Sunday morning, I began by what is the greatest attribute in the local visible body of Christ, the church. There is no greater attribute in this local visible body of Christ we call the church, and you are the church, than love. There just isn't any. It's the ultimate. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The word is agape, and it means love. But charity, I think, is the best translation of the word in this context, because it means giving something, expecting nothing in return. It means like you take something down and you give it to somebody who can never repay you, and yet you give it just because you care. No return necessary. Here it is from me. You owe me nothing. I want nothing. And it's an absolute gift. That's love. I've had to learn what love is. When I was born, I thought it was mom because she was warm and gentle and loving. And I thought it was my grandparents because they were kind to me. And I thought it was people that were nice to me and treated me nice. And I was like people that sat in the marketplace and played a tune to me and I danced to their tune. But people that didn't love me, people that didn't care for me, people that didn't like me, people that said unkind things about me, I didn't love them because they did not first love me. But the truth of the matter is, love is not feeling a soft, squeezy teddy bear. That's phileo. That's the kind of love that is generated just because people are good to us, and it's a human love, and it's a milk of human kindness. But this is a love that is given when we just generally care for the welfare of people, whether they're wicked, kind, unjust, just a love and a concern for the future destination of people, where they either spend eternity in heaven or hell. It's a God-given love. It isn't something that we learn from the flesh. It's something that comes through the new birth, that with the passage of time, as we submit our wills to Christ, we become more loving creatures in God's church. 1 Corinthians 13:4b. Last Sunday I preached on 1 Corinthians 13:4a, Lord willing. I'll preach on 13:4c, and I underline Lord willing. Love is kind. That's what 13:4b says. Many times we tend to take Webster's definition of words, and we define everything in the terms of Webster. You need to define everything that you think or feel or act upon based not on Daniel Webster's famous dictionary, but on God's definition of words as they're used in the King James translation. This says love is kind. What does the word kind really mean in God's word? And more importantly, since it is used that way in God's word, to God, what does kind mean? Kind means this. Love shows itself to be actively beneficent in spite of ingratitude. It means that it's a kind of love that you give and you give and you give and you give. And the people that you give it to are ungrateful, unkind, unrepentant, unloving, merciless, backslidden, hating, having malice. But you go right on loving them with this kind of love. So what does it mean to be kind? It means to be actually beneficent in spite of ingratitude. When God calls a man to preach, he has to have this kind of love. If God doesn't give it to him, he cannot preach, nor can he pastor, nor can he do anything to benefit the cause and purpose of Christ. For a man who is called of God to preach the gospel, and it would apply to anyone in God's church who's willing to do what God wants, is going to have to learn to continue to present and teach Christ to those who hate it, to those who despise him, or her, in the case of a church member working for the Lord. And it is this kind of love that you continue to work and to try to communicate to those men and women who are headed for a devil's hell No matter how they treat you, no matter how they act towards you, no matter how much they hate you, no matter what kind of tricks they play on you, no matter what kind of things they say, no matter what kind of things they do to you, you continue to present to them the love and the kindness and the mercy of God that is tied up in the sacrifice and life and offering of Jesus Christ, and to show them the love and compassion of God in what we call the gospel. So love is kind. It's an attribute that God has. And when we receive Christ, his Son indwelling us has that attitude. Luke 6:35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend. Sometimes churches go off on a bend, what I call the social welfare case. And you've got members that will come to church as long as the church is supplying their physical and material needs. And they latch on to a church because they think that God is dealing through that church and meeting all their needs. And they come and they borrow money from the pastor, they borrow money from the church, they get money for all sorts of things, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. This doesn't mean that God says, I want you to just keep letting them do it for the rest of their life, and that'll show your love for them. No, that will show your stupidity, and that will show that you don't have this kind of love. Because if you let them go ahead and continue to leech off the church, and you let them continue to go ahead and serve God because of the material blessings, you have taught them absolutely nothing. You have done them more harm than good, and you do not love them because you are contributing to a thought process and a way of life that is not pleasing to God, and instead of trying to help them, you are encouraging them to continue the practice. So what it means is, after a while, you have to cut it off. But when you give love, a definition of love is to be actively beneficial in spite of ingratitude. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. We have 7 children, as you well know. We have 9 grandchildren. During the course of our lifetime, we have, quote, loaned money to them. It never really is a loan. Every person has to make their own judgment on integrity in life. We really give it to the kids. And that way, if they pay us back, fine. If they don't pay us back, that's fine too. Because we lend the money because we love them. And we will never be unkind to them or mistreat them or have an improper attitude toward them if they don't pay us back, because we love them. That's what love is. It's when you do something and you don't expect anything back. And your reward shall be great. My mother had that kind of love for me. My mother never expected anything from me. Of all the characteristics of my mother, I suppose that I admired the most. She had the Spirit of Christ that indwelled her. She wasn't a missionary Baptist, but she had the Spirit of Christ that indwelled her. She was born again. She was saved. And my mother spent her whole life working for myself and my brother and her brother and my grandmother, and she never expected anything back from us. That's love. That's just giving it because you really love and care for the people. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he, God, is kind, there's your word, to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you know God was very kind to Adolf Hitler? He let him live his life. He had an opportunity to receive Christ. He had an opportunity to be saved like everyone else. But God was kind to Adolf Hitler, one of the evilest men who ever lived. You say, well, he certainly wasn't kind to Paul. He had his head chopped off. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to Paul in his entire ministry, because he died a martyr's death. And God's definition of kindness is quite different from ours. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, you know, when I was a young minister, I used to be very upset when people didn't think I was, they didn't appreciate me. I discovered it was because I had a tremendous ego. I didn't need to be appreciated. And the truth of the matter is, God calls all of us into His service, every church member, to do what we do, not to receive the thanks of others, the applause of others, the attributes of praise from others. But He calls us to do what we do because His Son indwells us and His Son is kind. Far too many workers of God, teachers in classes, people who do all sorts of a multiplicity of things in church, just people who come to church. And I thank God for that, because that's all some people can do. But probably they're in the best status they've ever been in because they're helpless, and now they can pray for people, and God can do the work in response to their faith and confidence in God's ability to do what it's no longer possible for them to do. I think when people get old, and I've never been old, so it's hard for me to talk to old people about this, and I would never rebuke an elder. But if I were allowed to rebuke an elder, and if God allowed it, I'd say this to you older people. For the first time in your life, you're helpless. And now that God, who gave you birth, has given you the ability by age to have faith, and you can pray for this church, and you can pray for your pastor, and you can pray for others. And there's nothing you can do anymore physically. But now I think you can probably do more for God than you've ever done in your whole life. I think now you can trust God. And when you pray for the church and you want it to grow and prosper spiritually, and you ask God and you feel helpless inside, you say, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I can't do anything anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. Lord, I can't do anything anymore. Now, thank God you can't, because now you've got to trust God to do it. And so to you older ladies especially, I say to you, pray now. Pray and spend your time in prayer. Pray thanking God that He let you live this long, and pray for the church and for God's work and for the men who preach and teach in this church and for the Sunday school who preach and teach in this church. And don't stop praying, because now you've got to rely on God to do it, because you can't. And that's exactly what faith is, trusting God to do what is impossible for you to do. God is kind to people that aren't thankful, and He's kind to evil people. This doesn't mean you let evil people run over you. It doesn't mean you condone their ways. It doesn't mean that you say, well, I'm just a poor little worm, go ahead and run over me. Jesus was never like that. But Jesus kept telling the world who He was, and kept telling them that He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and He kept about His Father's business, and He never let the unthankful or the evil throw Him off track. And He never was disappointed because they, at least outwardly, because they did not receive Him. He was so wrapped up in doing what God had sent Him to do that He was kind to all people and never let ingratitude or the evilness of men toward Him separate Him from the work of God that He had been set here to do. And I tell you that every one of you knows Christ, and your speaker included, has that responsibility, and that's being kind to people. You keep telling them about Jesus. You keep taking the opportunity to show them Christ in your life. And that's what love really is. It's a kindness, because you don't want those evil people and those unthankful people to continue in that condition. And you're kind toward them for their benefit. You see, it benefits them. When you have an attitude toward them of forgiveness, of mercy, and of continuing to teach and to show them and live God's life before them, that's what your calling is. That's what the calling of all children of God is. And be kind one to another. Love is kind. Before we're finished with this, Lord willing, we'll discuss all the characteristics of love, and I think it'll help all of us. I know it helps me. Ephesians 4:32-5:2. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. What is kindness? It's forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When I was young, raising our children, I wasn't all that good a father. Oh, I provided the money for them. But I was more caught up, wrapped up in myself than I was in anything else. Vicki was our first child. She was the first, and there's something about a man for the first time that he sees something God's given him, and a wife that he loves, and it's presented to him, it's special. So I used to put her on my shoulders, used to ride her around. I took a lot of time with Vicki. Some of the other girls, time, they say, you don't love us much as Vicki. Vicki's your favorite. You know, as life passes, you learn things. Some of our children have lived the kind of lives that have given us pleasure in return and happiness. Some of them have lived lives that have given us sadness. But I had a lesson to learn, and God taught me. Vicki's not my favorite. They're all my favorite. And if I can't forgive those who don't grow up and be like we want them to be, then look at what God has done for me and how ungrateful I am. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me for all the mistakes I've ever made in life. So each one of my seven children, because Christ indwells me, if I'm going to exercise this kind of love toward them, I've got to love those who are disobedient and who don't do the things we want them to do, as much as I love the ones who haven't given me a reason to be unkind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I honestly believe I love all my children the same. But I think it's something that God has taught me down through the years. It's certainly nothing I was born with, because we tend to love the children that always do what we want, and we tend to have very little use for those who don't. Where would we be if God treated us like that? And when Christ gives us the new birth, Jesus living inside us gives us the ability to be kind regardless of the conduct of people toward us. If you ever really want to win that person to the Lord, you're going to have to continue to be kind to them, because kindness is the attribute of God that the Holy Spirit uses to draw them, not to you, but to something they see in you that they don't have, that they feel guilty about, and they want it, and the only way they can have it is when they receive Christ, acknowledging that they are unkind, that they are ungrateful, they are unthankful. And then when they come to Christ, they receive that marvelous Spirit of God that does love with kindness. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. How do you walk in love? Well, it's a kind walk. Loving, in spite of ingratitude, continuing to benefit people, even when they're not thankful. Some preachers leave churches because they say, they just don't appreciate me. Well, when I was a child, I spake as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You don't have to like me for me to love you. You don't have to like me. You don't have to be kind to me for me to love you. It's Christ in me that loves you, and he's the only one that really does, because he's the only perfect man who ever actually demonstrated to the world the true meaning of kindness. What does it mean to walk in love? As, that's assembly. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. What is love? Love shows itself to be actively beneficent in spite of ingratitude. Given himself for us. You know what Christ gave himself for? A group of ungrateful, totally depraved, ungodly men and women. That's what we were all born that way. And in spite of that, he went ahead and gave himself for us because he was kind toward us. He was actively beneficial to us in spite of ingratitude, hoping for nothing again. an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I tell you what smells sweet to God. It's when we allow Christ in us to exercise his kindness toward other people. And we don't let ourselves get in the way. I got my feelings hurt. He didn't visit me. They didn't phone me. They didn't send me a card. He didn't shake my hand. Me, 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 me. Sound like a sheep. Meh. But how about him, her, them? When our concern is more for the welfare of other people than our own self-centered self, where we let our feelings get hurt, then we can understand what kindness is. Because Jesus offered himself as a sweet-smelling savor of the absolute kindness of Almighty God that is still being manifested, hopefully, through us as we show his kindness in our lives toward other people. Laying our lives on a block, putting Christ's church first, our service in that church according to the will of God, and manifesting to the world a people that are different, a people who are truly kind, that want lost souls to be saved, that want backslidden souls to come back to church. If every church member was as interested as they pay the pastor to be in lost souls and an edification of those who are backslidden and not in church, our churches couldn't hold the people that would come between these two walls. 2 Corinthians 6:3-6, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That's kindness. Paul was a man who wrote this. And Paul tried not to offend anybody. He tried to be kind to everybody. He tried to exercise the kindness of God. Why? That, henna, in order that the ministry be not blamed. He was more concerned about God's ministry than he was his own personal welfare. What are you more concerned about? Your own personal welfare? You'll be surprised how many people come to church to get God off their back because it bothers them when they don't come. Why not come to church that the ministry of God, the ministry of Christ, be not blamed for anything, and why not have the work of Christ in the church be the reason you come to Christ, so that there you can see ways in your heart, in your life, where you work, where you go, what you do, that others can see the kindness of God in you. Why not look at yourself as an extension of the church, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, no matter where you are, at what time you are? Why not look at yourself as a witness of God from the church of a life where God's kindness is shown forth? Why not do that? Because that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And if every church member would do that, pastor and everyone included, the deacons and everyone included, nobody would have anything they could blame us with. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. Paul was more concerned what people thought of the ministry of God, to the extent that he was willing to go out of his way to be kind to others so he wouldn't offend them. Look at what he went through. In stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. It's mentioned quite frequently in the Bible. What do you want to see in a person? Kindness. What do unthankful people want to see? Kindness. What do evil people want to see? Kindness. Toward who? Toward them. How are you ever going to get their attention? Same way Christ got your attention. By the kindness of the mercy of the grace of God in Christ that saved you from what you are and eternally delivered you from hell. You know what kindness is? It's unfeigned love. Love that's genuine, not faked, that shows the extension of Christ through you toward a lost and dying world. Titus 3:3-4. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Here's what kindness is. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And that kindness and that love of God our Savior appeared totally and completely in the person of Jesus Christ. Take a look at this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, 6 through 10, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are good works? One of them is kindness. When you walk in kindness, you walk in a kindness that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his unmerited favor, and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If you are used of God through submission of your will to talk to someone else about the great kindness and grace and unmerited favor of Christ that has saved you from eternal damnation and hell, and you praise Christ from your lips to that person for what they've done and Christ has done in your life, you're exercising the greatest kindness that could ever be extended to them from you personally, because what you're talking about is the kindness of God that allowed Christ to suffer and bleed and die to be beneficial to people, strictly beneficial. That's what kindness is. When you do something just to be beneficial to someone else that does not benefit you personally. Romans 12, 1, 2, 9, and 10. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Someone that's kind is someone who extends toward others an attitude that when he sees that person succeed in God's work, and he sees that person achieving in God's work something that is beneficial to the work of God, he or she is not jealous, and they are prayerfully thankful for the person, and they glorify God in their hearts because God has used that person, and they're not jealous. They're just thankful to God that God's kindness is being extended to someone else because of the work of that person. It means to put the work of God first. To let the kindness of God show forth when you see God's work being done by anyone. And in honor, preferring them, their use as a servant of God, in preference to God selecting you to perform the work. Psalm 26, 2 through 3. David's cry for examination. You've seen this morning. You have minds, you have hearts. You have the ability to reason. You know the God whom I know. I wonder if our hearts are as anxious for examination as David's was. In the 26th Psalm, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try me. Try my reins, what makes me go like a reins on a horse, and what directs me. Try my heart, Lord. Look on my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Why did God put his loving kindness before our eyes? Why, after you've heard this message and you've seen these scriptures, it makes you acutely aware of the kindness of God? Why can you see the kindness of God in Christ? Why, when you look at Jesus, can you see a man suffering and bleeding and dying, offering his life And he was offering it for all men, both those who received it, those who were ungrateful, those who were unkind, those who were evil. He offered his life for all men, expecting nothing to benefit him in return. He expected nothing but benefiting them and had no desire whatsoever to receive from them a benefit, but gave it totally for them. Why do we see God's kindness in Christ? Why does it stick out like a sore thumb? Why is there no question of it? Why did he put it before our eyes? As I have walked in thy truth, so that when we saw it, we might walk in the same truths in which Christ walked. And one of those truths was a walk of kindness, where he did what he did not to receive thanks for it, not to receive pats on the back, but he did it knowing men would be ungrateful, knowing men would continue to have evil reactions toward him. He did it anyway. That's what the kindness of God is. And that's how Christ demonstrated it to us, to give us an example that we could follow. I thank God that the only way that can be received is by receiving the Spirit of Christ. And I thank God that he did not base the receipt of Christ upon our ability to obtain works that would somehow merit it. But I thank God that he showed us what we are. Totally unloving, ungodly men and women, putting on a facade that sometimes even deceives ourselves. But when the Holy Spirit of God hits a heart, and we see ourselves for the imperfect things that we have become since the fall of Adam, we can exercise faith in what we hear from the Word of God, and God can perform in us a work that is beyond human comprehension, a spiritual transplant of the very nature of his Son that abides us continually and forever, leading us to be kind toward other people. Romans 10, 17, 13. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You want the ability to exercise this love? You've got to have Christ to do it. And the only way he'll come is when you see yourself as helpless and you cry out to God to give you what his Son gave to an ungrateful people. You ask Jesus to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we have a silent moment of prayer, I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're already saved, is God dealing with you this morning to be baptized, not to be saved, but to be baptized because you are saved and you want to be obedient to Christ? I ask you this morning, if you are lost, will you come to Christ right where you're sitting, right now, this moment, and ask Jesus to save you? If you're a member of this church, or any one of the Lord's churches, I ask you this morning, does the example that Christ set before us of the great kindness of God make you realize the unkindness in your own heart? And does it give you inside a desire to repent and ask God to strengthen you to show kindness toward others, regardless of their attitude and conduct toward you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us just because you're kind. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Spirit. Coming, we have invitations for this reason.